is time for our weekly segment, Touch Base in Seoul. This is where we speak to a wide variety of guests. And we're very pleased today to be joined by the Director General of the Global Green Growth Institute. This is an international organization headquartered here in Seoul, Dr. Frank Reijberman. Sir, thank you so much for joining us and really appreciate you coming out here despite your busy schedule.
My pleasure.
We have a lot to talk about, but I think first of all, there may be a few people who might not be familiar with the Global Green Growth Institute, GGGI. Could you briefly just talk about your organization?
We are still a very young intergovernmental organization. That means our members are governments. We were set up in 2012, just 5 years ago, by 16 countries who felt that we should be an organization that helps countries move towards an economy that is more green, that is more sustainable environmentally and more inclusive socially. And we support our governments to make that transition.
We know that this year, 2017, it's sort of a momentous year because it is the fifth anniversary of the Global Green Growth Institute, the establishment of that. Does that feel like a momentous occasion to you as well?
Yes, I guess we're still a toddler if you think of us as 5 years old, but we had a very nice birthday party offered by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs last Friday, at which we had 150 people show up and many ambassadors, both of countries that we work with and other countries that are very interested to join, because this is indeed a very exciting time. We work on green energy, on renewable energy, on green cities, and all these subjects are very much at the top of the agenda for many governments.
You mentioned a bit of a toddler. Now, toddlers, they learn to walk, they learn to speak, they learn to do different things. In the 5 years, and I know it's very early on, what would you say are some of the notable achievements of GGGI?
Well, first, we've tried very hard to grow up. So we've gone from 16 countries that ratified our establishment agreement to 28. And there's another 20 countries that are in the process of doing so. So we deal with about 50 countries. Mm. And we have staff, we have people in 26 countries. So setting up the organization, getting members, and becoming effective is the first thing. Then the second thing is we helped a lot of countries establish national green growth plans or renewable energy policies like the Moon government here does. And quite a few governments are actually going to 100% renewable energy. And the third thing is then we try to help governments turn those plans into real projects and put the money on the table, the green finance, the climate finance. And this year, we are very proud that for the first time, we've raised about $500 million for those green projects for our member countries.
Now, among the member countries, of course, South Korea is one of the member countries, also
founding
the headquarters
one.
Here, one of the founding members. All the members are at various stages, I think we could agree, in terms of how advanced they are in their green growth initiatives. What would you say, because a lot of people will say, okay, we'll have fine dust problems here, some other issues that we're worried about. What are some of the environmental issues you think facing South Korea specifically?
Well, all our member countries share this commitment to this transition to a more environmental, more green growth path. But you're right. Korea has the, well, a little bit sad distinction that it is the country with the lowest use of renewable energy and the highest fine dust or air pollution problem among the OECD countries.
Not just a coincidence then, necessarily.
No, actually. Well, actually, among almost all the East Asian economies that have grown very rapidly, from Mongolia to China, you know, the capitals, Ulaanbaatar, Beijing, Seoul, Delhi, they all have to deal with the side effects of this economic development. So yeah, we say the quality of economic growth really matters.
Quality of economic growth really matters. Now, South Korea, relatively speaking, is advanced economically. We do have other countries that are, we could say, emerging economies, perhaps still in the developmental stages. Our neighbor to the north, North Korea, would be considered one of those countries. How would your organization deal with or try to have some sort of cooperative relationship with a country like North Korea?
Well, it really is our model that countries like Korea, who have already become a model, really, of development for others, then share their experience, their knowledge, their technologies, and their resources with developing countries. So we support particularly least developed countries like North Korea to then get on a track of economic growth, but economic growth that is healthier for the people and for the environment. So we work with countries from Ethiopia to, well, a whole stack of least developed countries and small island development states.
Please go ahead.
Not yet North Korea.
Okay.
But we would be very willing, you know, if there are opportunities to support North Korea, you know, under the kind of scenarios of unification that we all would like to see. It's exactly that kind of role that we are set up to play.
The dilemma always seems to be, and we can point to some of the big countries that are considered still emerging nations like China and India, and the model that they follow is rapid industrialization, which inevitably means a very high percentage of fossil fuels being used to fuel that kind of growth. Are you saying then that you're optimistic with some of the other emerging economies that you're working with? You mentioned Ethiopia, that paradigm has been shifting and there is an openness to them, that they do see the long-term vision of not only their own economic growth, but also the health of the environment as well.
Even the short term, because, you know, until very recently, coal used to be the cheapest form of energy. So you can talk about people before saying you should not use coal because it's bad for the environment. Right now, coal has become a more expensive form of energy than solar, even than solar backed up by batteries. So a lot of countries are realizing investing in clean energy is not only a good thing for the environment, it's in their best economic interest. So for places in Africa, they can leapfrog. So they have only, you know, 10-20% of their population with access to the grid right now. So renewable energy is the next miracle coming. They say 10 years ago, we had all these mobile phones. Right now, it's off-grid energy. People who will have solar on their rooftops, who will have access to renewable energy, that finally have light in their houses or solar irrigation pumping. So it really is a driver for green growth in places like Africa.
Yeah, I've seen some of the headlines that have been coming out, how the amazing development of solar, especially now on a per kilowatt basis, is now significantly cheaper, where, as you were saying, even just counting pennies, it saves money in the long run to invest in that industry. Does that work across the board? Does it matter whether they have access to it or they have the facilities to import or build these type of infrastructure? Or is it still something that does need to have a good supply chain or distribution channel to make sure that everyone has access to relatively inexpensive solar energy?
Well, that's a very important point. So until very recently, governments would then say, okay, we don't have the grid, we don't have the supply chain, we don't have the infrastructure, we can't afford to have solar. But the big breakthrough of, I would say, this year, the last 2 years, is batteries. Remember, you know, South Australia was investing in solar. Earlier this year, they had some blackouts. And then Elon Musk of Tesla.
The $100 million bet, right?
Yes. Well, he said, I will put 100 megawatt of batteries in your backyard in 100 days or your money back.
Right.
You know, the pizza delivery guarantee. Well, when I saw that tweet, I thought it was funny. I didn't think the Australian government would take him up on it, but they did. So they're building 129 megawatt battery. In fact, last week they said it's done. It's going to be taken in operation. He did it within 100 days. And that is a great example of battery technology breaking through. So yeah, just in this month, Lazard, a big bank, came out with their new report on levelized cost of energy. And it means that solar plus batteries is now cheaper than coal.
You were also quoted in a different media interview about the current president of South Korea, Moon Jae-in, his decision to cut down these old coal-fired power plants. This was a positive step, switching the nuclear power capabilities and dependence onto something a bit more renewable. I know sometimes it can be sort of a thorny political debate when we talk about the rate of which there should be a phase out of nuclear energy, but overall, do you think the country is moving in the right direction?
So Korea has two big challenges. It has a lot of coal and a lot of nuclear. Right, and other countries are going through the same debate. My own country, the Netherlands, had the same big debate about nuclear right after the Chernobyl accident. And then we were having two nuclear power plants and planning to have a third. And in the end, after several years of very hot political debate, we decided no more nuclear. Now, the most recent Dutch government that came in just a few weeks ago, they actually decided the big issue of the day is now phasing out coal. And they've decided to close all coal-fired power plants by 2030, not only the old ones, but also the new ones. So other countries struggle with this. The UK, decided to phase out coal. So they've gone in just a few years from 50% coal to 9% coal, but they still have nuclear.
Right.
Germany decided to phase out nuclear first, so they're rapidly phasing out nuclear, but they still have coal. Mm. So doing both at the same time is pretty challenging, but the direction is clear. You know, you can choose which one you want to do first, but the current level of renewable at 2% is very low.
Yeah.
It absolutely has to go up, so the 20% goal is a great first step, can we still say. Many other countries are going to their 100% renewable
right.
energy. So the trend is clear. The discussion is difficult, but I think the end goal is pretty clear.
Yeah, and every country has their own unique cocktail of mix of how much
exactly.
dependence there is on coal, the political sort of discussions that are also taking place with the dependence on nuclear and what have you. And so they all have to find their way, but we all have to move into that same, I suppose, end line.
And that we can support. So we did actually have our first activity in Korea. So far we have accepted Korea's support to share your experience with other countries. But on the 23rd of November, we organized our first Korea Energy Forum, where we brought experts from Canberra, where they've recently gone to 100% renewable energy, from the UK, where they now have replaced coal by offshore wind, from Norway, where they're going very rapidly to electric vehicles, from China, where they're producing these batteries. So we're sharing that kind of knowledge from other countries that have gone through the same difficult discussions and are sometimes a little bit ahead of Korea as well.
Well, as a toddler, this five-year-old organization already doing important work, accomplished a lot. You yourself, maybe, if we're using the same analogy, could be an infant in this stage because you were appointed the Director General of the Global Green Growth Institute Assembly on October 1st, 2016, meaning a little over a year ago. It's a four-year term. I know it's early in your tenure, but what do you hope to accomplish in the remainder of your tenure here?
So as we've grown the organization a bit, now it's time for us to deliver, to show that we can make a real impact for our countries, with our countries as partners, to help achieve the Paris Agreement on climate change and to help countries achieve their sustainable development goals. So we've set our targets. What can we do to help reduce greenhouse gas emissions? What can we do to increase green jobs? And for the next few years, we want to demonstrate that countries can have a healthier economy, healthy for their population and healthy for the environment, and that we can mobilize. We have a target of mobilizing at least $2.5 billion towards green projects in our member countries. And that way we hope to make a good step to see countries move in the right direction.
It certainly seems like there is a lot to be done in the next few years, and we certainly wish you the best of luck for this very important task. As you say, not just the fate of any one country, but really the fate of the world depends on its success. We're going to have to leave it there, but sir, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it, despite your busy schedule, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.